The Film Salon is a monthly screening series devoted to the celebration of classic and important films and has met monthly at Trinity First United Methodist Church since May of 2002. We are here today because the Film Salon has found a new home at the Alamo Draft House. Charles Horak has cultivated a discerning audience of cinephiles and those looking to expand their awareness of cinema history. Horak will continue to curate the Film Salon's program and provide commentary before and after each film. Here to tell us about the move and how you can get tickets to the next show is Charles Horak. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi, thanks.
It's so nice to have you on
my show.
I know.
It's a completely different view from over here.
Welcome.
Thank
how is
you
it
so
over
much,
there?
Marie. It's fantastic.
So tell us about the Film Salon. You've been at this for a good while.
14 years and a month. 2 months coming up.
But no one's counting.
No one's counting. Over 170 films. It's been an amazing thing. You know, this is one of those projects that you just kind of dream up late one night and try it on a whim for a few months. And the next thing you know, more than a decade's gone by.
How many people did you start off with when you started the Film Salon? And where are you now?
We meet or met every month at Trinity First United Methodist Church down at the bottom of Mesa. And there was this groovy little chapel from the 50s that was really underutilized and not used it much. I dusted everything off. I would set up a portable screen and a sound system. And that first 6 months, I programmed out, beginning with Citizen Kane in May of 2002, as you mentioned, not knowing what would happen, who would show up. I, frankly, at that point, had never introduced a film. I was not a great public speaker, introvert, but I had gotten to a point in my life where I was watching so many great films. And, you know, like most things, when you hear a great album, when you watch a great film, when you see a great exhibit at the art museum, you want to share that with other people and not do it on your own. And I think certainly film going, to me, is best as a communal experience. It's not like reading a book. We can't 50 of us read the same page at a time. You know, the movies were really always about that communal experience of sharing those moving images. And so my wife, Anne, had started a book group about 6 months before, and I thought, well, I wonder if that's something you could pull off with films, where you could gather a discerning audience, as you mentioned, each month and watch the same thing, have a little conversation about it, debate it. So that's kind of the format that gelled in my mind. And that first screening of Citizen Kane, we had about 50. The chapel seats about 60.
Wow.
And over the years, we've fluctuated in the 30 to 50 range, generally, depending on what I program. Certain films, I know when I program a block of Westerns, it's going to depress audience. I know when I program big Technicolor musicals, it's going to grow the audience. But we've been very quiet about this, and we've never really worked at building an audience because people just came, and we always just had this nice, intimate gathering that filled the space we had. And So I guess there was never really any pressure to market a whole bunch about the Film Salon. People just word of mouth found us over the years. But with the move to the Alamo Draft House, it's one of the many great things that we will enjoy is the ability to grow. And I think the additional marketing and aligning ourselves with the fabulous programming that the Alamo already does will certainly add to our numbers, and they have space for us to grow.
So how did that come together? How did the idea of moving the Film Salon?
Oh, gosh. Well, the CEO of Triple Tap, who owns this Alamo, he started coming to town over 2 years ago to announce the groundbreaking and the construction. And we met through those events, and we kept up a conversation, and he would mention, you know, we really want to do something with you because a lot of what they do is tie in with the community they're in. That conversation kind of fits and starts, went along, and as the construction moved forward and they had an opening date, those conversations became lengthier. And frankly, everybody involved, myself and the Alamo guys, were also busy. They were busy getting the project finished, and I was busy on other projects. We just never quite got to the yes. So just recently.
Everybody knew they wanted to.
That's right. But we were all dancing around it, and it all seemed like a great deal. We just never pulled the trigger. And so about a month ago, we just said, well, you know, look, let's just say yes and move forward because we all want to do this. So what we're going to do and what they were very gracious to do was to allow us to continue to meet the first Saturday of every month. As you know, Saturdays are probably the big day at any movie theater. We met for those 14 years at 7:30. We're going to start meeting at 7 o'clock, which is also the prime slot on a Saturday. So they've just been tremendous in offering up the space, the time slots. We're coordinating on the licensing of the films. for those listeners who have been to a film salon, the programming will pretty much remain the same. I typically do a brief introduction, not only about the film, but setting the context for the film, whether it's talking more broadly about the genre of film we're seeing or what was going on in Hollywood or America at the time or in Europe or around the world if it's a foreign language film. And then afterwards, I would lead a discussion and give more notes on the film. So that's going to stay the same. And they've really put no restrictions on what I can program, so I imagine I will continue. It's been our tradition to work in blocks of 4 to 6 months at a time, so we'll look at the work of a particular actress and look at 4 or 6 of her films in a row, or we'll look at a particular genre or director. And in this case, our current series, we're looking at the pairing of both a great actor, Humphrey Bogart, and a great director, John Huston. So it's an opportunity to kind of drill in deeper on these films, not just for entertainment value, but educationally expand people's awareness of these fine works of art.
So you told us the actor and the director, but what are the films that you're showing?
Well, we kicked it off our final screening at Trinity First United Methodist Church just earlier this month was The Maltese Falcon, which was 1941, the film that really made Humphrey Bogart a star and introduced the world to this brand new director, John Huston, who had been a screenwriter for a few years in Hollywood, and he also adapted the screenplay for The Maltese Falcon. Bogart and Huston were drinking buddies already. Mm-hmm. They knew each other. And Humphrey Bogart really had this amazing career. We often think of him. He's one of the iconic faces of Hollywood of the last 100 years. And he was not an overnight success. He had already worked 12 years in Hollywood and had never risen above sort of supporting player roles. And this was a film that he had aged into. It was the perfect time. America was looking for a different type of leading man. People thought this was the third adaptation of Maltese Falcon, and a lot of bigger actors turned it away. And so he got his shot. John Huston gets a shot at directing because everybody kind of was looking another way on this small film, and it just blew up. And so these two men were simpatico on a lot of things. They both had a fairly cynical worldview. They were tough guys. They were smart guys. And they worked for 6 films in a row. And they did 4 of those films are considered Bogart's among his finest. Maltese Falcon, this coming month on July 2nd at the Alamo, where we debut the Film Salon Partnership, we'll be showing The Treasure of the Sierra Madre from 1948, which is an amazing film that also stars John Huston's own father, Walter Huston, who got an Academy Award for his portrayal of this old, crusty miner prospector. And then the next month, on August 6th, we're showing The African Queen, co-starring with Katharine Hepburn.
Very famous.
Very famous Technicolor film where they all trooped off to Africa. Amazing shoot. Lots of stories to tell at that screening about what it was like making the film. And then we're going to wrap up, dropping back to 1948 with Key Largo, where Bogart gets to share the screen again with his wife, Lauren Bacall.
Were they married prior to making that film?
Yes. Yes, they were already married. And it's one of the later films. They met, of course, famously, her debut in Howard Hawks's To Have and Have Not in 1944, and then would make The Big Sleep. Key Largo is considered one of their other major pairings and was a big film, I think, for Bogart, and also shows his smartness. You see so much in his eyes. There's a great biography that came out recently, and I love the title of it, of Humphrey Bogart, and it's called Tough Without a Gun. And that sums up so much about his presence. He was actually a fairly small guy. He had to wear lifts when he was on screen with Lauren Bacall because she was taller. He was a slight man. By the time he became famous, he was beginning to go bald. but his eyes, the way he reacts to things, you can always see the wheels turning in his mind, his little tics on camera. Those 12 years were not wasted. He did some 40 films before The Maltese Falcon, and he was honing his craft and learning year after year, doing 3 or 4 films at a time, also doing a lot of stage work on Broadway. So he was a consummate actor and really pushed himself, and particularly films like the upcoming The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, which will be on July 2nd, you didn't see major stars like Humphrey Bogart taking those kinds of roles. He goes mad during the making of this film and becomes this paranoid, homicidal maniac, a very unsympathetic role. Right. And here he is at the top of his game. So, you know, Hollywood in the 40s and certainly into the 50s would have been about protecting the brand. And so you rarely saw Cary Grant.
Everybody's cool.
That's right. It's like, you know, this is the kind of film I make. I'm going to be the romantic lead. There's very little romantic about this portrayal. And I think it goes to show you just who he was as an artist. He was sought out as he became more and more famous. He sought out these kinds of roles that would push him as an artist. He was never comfortable just letting himself be defined by Hollywood or the public.
And for you, what is it about classic film that is important to you and the reason why you have the Film Salon?
You know, a lot of people are not familiar with these films. It's amazing nowadays. We certainly have a diehard crew of cinephiles, but I think for a lot of people, when they hear The African Queen, they know that it's an important film, but it's going on 60 years old or more.
Right.
And so they know it's something they should see eventually. Mm-hmm. And I love one of the greatest things is when I can expose people in my audience to a film they've never seen before. And we have this weird thing about movies, them getting old. And the great films never get old. You know, we don't go to an art museum and say, I don't want to see the Mona Lisa because it's so old.
Right.
You know, great art is timeless. And to me, classic films and the important films that we show are timeless. And that's part of the allure, I think, for me. And it pushes me forward to keep learning and studying.
Right, because you have to tell us all about these films constantly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, today my guest has been Charles Horak, who is moving the Film Salon over to the Alamo Drafthouse. The first showing at the Drafthouse is going to be on July 2nd. And it's going to be
7 p.m., Saturday, 7 p.m.
There it is. And you can catch up with Charles. If you are a devout Film Salon-y, then you know the breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, this is a great opportunity to get in on the Drafthouse itself.
That's right. Get there early for the food and drinks.
Yes. And then to get in on the Film Salon action, because it sounds like the birth of something really cool here.
It is great. It's like a rebirth.
Yes, yes, a rebirth. A rebirth of the Film Salon at the Alamo Drafthouse. Today, my guest has been Charles Horak. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marina.